So we can talk about it to our students all day long, but really the key is that we would show them, that we would go. So we want students to go for like during spring break, then we want them to go for a year, and then we say, hey, pray about a lifetime. Maybe God wants you to go. And so that first step is the spring break trip. This last year, because COVID kind of opened back up things, because that closed down and then opened up the world, we went to Atlanta and we went to Dearborn, Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan, for those who don't know, is the highest concentration of Muslim individuals that live in America. And so we went there, and we took a team. We had one of our interns lead that trip. I had the pleasure of going with them, and it was absolutely phenomenal because they trained us on how to go to coffee shops and bring up our faith. I don't know if you have ever spoken to a Muslim individual, but a person who is a practicing Muslim is very excited to share about their faith. And so when we bring up spiritual conversations with people who agree differently than us, or think differently than us, it's awesome that they would want to engage in conversation. And so if you have not engaged with that Muslim friend of yours, I want to encourage you today. This is a great opportunity. Go and talk to them and say, and just start by asking them questions. And so we did that on this trip to Dearborn. We went to coffee shops. We shared about our faith. We asked them questions about theirs. They were very interested to meet a Christian that was passionate about their faith. And so really want to encourage you to do that. We just thought it was amazing. Our students who went on that trip were just so transformed and wanted to come back to NC State and make other friends who were Muslim believers so that they could share their faith with them as well. So it goes beyond the mission trip that just happens on spring break to now a lifestyle of living that mission wherever you go. I'm going to have Cello come up to the stage. He is going to share about his trip to Atlanta.
Thank you. I think my clothes are a little too tight, but it's okay. Praise God, everybody. Praise God, everybody. If you could just go to the Atlanta picture and whatnot, is the one right before this. If anything, my first name is Cello, last name is Kavuna. I was born and raised in Raleigh, North Carolina, and both my parents are by way of Democratic Republic of Congo, which is actually Central Africa. Some of you guys may know about it. If you don't, go ahead, Google it. I call it the heart of Africa, if anything. Before I actually talk about my role in Chi Alpha and how I got introduced to Chi Alpha, there's actually something that I feel as if it's important to mention. Me and Devontae, we actually rode here together and whatnot, and we were having car troubles, actually about 27 minutes down the road and whatnot. One thing I found out about here on this side of town is everything is far. Everything is a nice little drive. You got to make sure you have some gas, make sure everything is nice and good, because me, where I'm from in Raleigh, we call this the country, okay? But we were having some car troubles, but one thing that was just so interesting is even when we were having that car troubles, God has a way of making sure that you handle things, everything that you need to do while you're on assignment. Even while we were on assignment and whatnot, the devil was still trying to get us in regards to having car troubles of getting here. There was a man, his name was Rodney. He actually picked us up, and we said, hey, yeah, we're on assignment. We're supposed to get out to carpenter shop and whatnot, but of course the car's not starting, all this different jazz and whatnot. And he's like, oh, you guys are at a carpenter shop out there in Ahoskie. I know exactly where that's at. And the fact that he knew exactly, he goes to church in Elizabeth City. That's where he goes to church. He lives probably about, 30 minutes down the road and whatnot, but he still knew about this house. So the reason why I say that is because whatever it is that you guys are doing in this house is still making a difference 30 minutes down the road, 40 minutes down the road. So whatever it is that you guys are doing, keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Praise God. Awesome. So if anything, Chi Alpha, let's talk about that. How I was introduced to it is definitely important to mention because I was a college student at North Carolina Agricultural and Technical State, North Carolina A&T, that's out there in Greensboro. And I was a student, knew about the church, grew up in church, all the above and whatnot. And then freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, I was tied in and plugged in with the church. And literally, it was one of those churches, hey, we love the college students, we love the young adults and whatnot. But me, I needed a little bit more. I needed a little bit more of that discipleship. I needed a little bit more of that community and whatnot. So I actually got on the phone with my mother. How many people know mothers carry wisdom? So thank God for that. She said, hey, why don't you go ahead and get plugged in with the AG Church in Greensboro? And I said, mothers and all their wisdom, again. So I literally said, hey, let me go ahead and go to a AG church out in Greensboro. As soon as I got there, I didn't waste any time. I said, hey, where are the young adults? Where are the college students? Where are those campus ministries that I could get, that I could get plugged in with? And what they said is, hey, go ahead and get plugged in with this group called Chi Alpha. They're not at North Carolina A&T, but they're at UNCG, which is about 6 minutes down the road. And I said, Chi Alpha, what's this, a fraternity, a sorority? I really don't have time for a frat right now. But sure, let me go ahead and check it out. Literally, I went to UNCG's campus. Literally, this was the group that was doing the midweek worships. They were doing the one-on-one discipleships, the men's small groups, the female small groups, the men's retreat, women's retreat, everything that I was looking for. And I said, wow, I got to get my boys plugged in with this. So literally, I would bring in my people from A&T, and we would go to UNCG. And literally, on some nights, I kid you not, there would be more A&T students than there were UNCG students. And this was on UNCG's campus. Come on, somebody. So it's just more so the impact that what we're doing, Chi Alpha-wise, that's how I got plugged in with Chi Alpha. And literally, anybody who's even going into the college age and whatnot next, literally look to see if your campus and your college university has a Chi Alpha, because it is very important to be plugged in with community and whatnot. Literally, we have the privilege of serving with Atlanta or to Atlanta and whatnot with Pure Hope. So you can kind of see Devontae's right there. I'm kind of in the middle right next to the Pure Hope church van and whatnot. And then the guy right there in the middle, that's Pastor Dale Stevens. Some of the things that he's doing, the church is actually kind of right there in the background as well, too. Literally, we were going to different communities, low income, all of the above and whatnot. And literally, sometimes you'll have kids, they have nothing to do after school. And whether or not it's the parents, they're at work or busy, caught up doing whatever, even if it's drugs, whatever the case may be, the kids are just running around doing nothing. So it's just more so Pastor Dale, literally, he takes these groups. We actually weren't even the only Chi Alpha group that were there. I think there was about, what, 3-4 other groups. But literally, they would take these kids and we would go to the neighborhoods. And literally, we'll do the activities, games, give them food. Because sometimes the meals that we would take to them is literally the only meal that they're eating for that entire day. So it's just imagine that type of impact. So not only is he doing that, he's actually about to be in charge of a Chi Alpha group that's at a local university. I want to say Georgia Tech, that's going to be out there. And just amazing things that are taking place in Atlanta. So by you supporting us as missionaries and whatnot, that's allowing impact for things like this to take place. So literally take heart of that and literally do not forget about that as well, too. So that's the main things. I just want to recognize that. Literally, Chi Alpha is just so important, and it's just been so groundbreaking as far as the opportunity and whatnot. So many blessings to you guys, and we thank you guys for this opportunity as well, too.
Thank you, Cello. So one way that we work to reach the world is through mission trips. It's a big part of what we do. But another way that we reach the world is through international students. So NC State itself has 4,000 international students most of the time. COVID restrictions have made it hard for international students to get in and out of their countries, but normally around 4,000 students. And these students can be from countries where we can't even send missionaries. We have students from Saudi Arabia. We have students from the Middle East who there are no Assemblies of God missionaries allowed in their country, but they're coming to our universities to learn. And these are bright students. They are brilliant. Many of them are the children of dignitaries or political leaders in these countries. And so we have the opportunity to meet, witness to, and disciple international students right on our campus. And it's really an incredible part of what we get to do. We like to say, like, international students make everything more fun. When they show up, they bring the party. When they show up, they bring all their friends. Like, if you invite one Chinese student to come to an event, they're going to bring all of their Chinese friends. It's amazing. They're the best gatherers. One student that we've had a really cool opportunity to minister to, we have a picture of him up there. His name's Jizun. He's from Indonesia. Jizun, he doesn't know Jesus, but he loves Chi Alpha. He shows up to our worship services. He shows up to our prayer services. This is a night when we celebrated his birthday. We found out it was his birthday, so Tyler ran into the Dollar Tree and grabbed party hats, and we got a dessert and some candles, and we sang to him. And he said this was the first time anyone's ever done that. He'd never had anybody celebrate his birthday like that. He'd never had someone sing happy birthday and blow out candles. He had this very American experience, right? This opportunity to share the love of Jesus through something as simple as a makeshift birthday party. And so we're just praying for Jizun because we don't know exactly where he is with Jesus, but he has heard the message of the gospel. I can't even count how many times he has heard it by being around Chi Alpha, and he just keeps coming back. And so we just keep welcoming him in, and we are believing that God is going to do something really cool in Jizun's life. He'll be there again this year. He's getting a PhD. I think he's very, very smart. So that's another way, is through international students. And the last way that we reach the world, like Tyler said, is we ask our students to pray about giving a lifetime. So we tell them to go on a missions trip and then ask God what he would want to do with them. And so a lot of times we encourage our students to even give a year after they graduate, before they have a mortgage, before they have a contract at a job, before they get married and have kids. Take a year after you graduate and go serve a missionary somewhere for a year. Take a short-term trip and do something really cool to give back to what God has done in your life. And then ask if maybe he's going to ask you to go long-term. Maybe not. Maybe you go for a year and then you go on to be an engineer. But two of our students who graduated, they took up the call to give a year. Their names are Colin and Madison. They are married, and they went to Mali, West Africa, and served. And God did just that. He asked them to go back even longer. And so they are currently serving a two-year term in Mali, West Africa. He was an engineering major. I think Madison, was she like social work or psychology, something, not planning to do ministry, not planning to do missions, and God really just changed the trajectory of their lives. And so we have a short video from Colin and Madison in Mali. We wish they could be here to share with you today, but they are going to share a little bit about Chi Alpha's impact on their life.
Hi, guys. My name is Madison.
And my name is Colin.
And Tyler has reached out to us and asked for this video. We are huge fans of Tyler and Paige, having worked with them for a couple of years at NC State Chi Alpha, but now we're serving in Mali, West Africa. And we just want to talk a little bit about the impact that Chi Alpha has had on our lives. I mean, first of all, we wouldn't even be where we are today if it wasn't for Chi Alpha. But for both of us, our time in college and with NC State XA was totally transformational to our lives. It was the first time we really took our faith seriously and, you know, started to live like Jesus were real. And we're just eternally grateful for the time we had in Chi Alpha. We joined Bible studies, and shortly thereafter, both of us started leading Bible studies, which was a huge growing experience for both of us, something we were definitely, I guess, underqualified for at the time, but God showed up in lots of ways and really helped us walk with me for girls and him with guys and move closer to the Lord. And it was during our time in Chi Alpha where I took my first overseas missions trip, and I went to Mali, and it totally just wrecked my life in the best way possible. It made me realize that Jesus was real and that there were people out here living like that. And it brought me to the point of wanting to make a decision of how I should live my life in light of this truth. And so one step of obedience led to another. I started leading a Bible study, and then I did the Chi Alpha internship, and then I ended up here in Mali, and I'm just really grateful for that whole experience. So Colin's going to tell you a little bit about what we do here.
Yeah, so now we're living in Mali in West Africa, serving with a Live Dead team. The main things that we're doing are we are our team's main language people, and so we don't really have a mastery of it ourselves either, so we're learning a lot. And we're also helping our team stay on track, each individual team member, with all of their learning for the local language here, so that we can share the gospel and build relationships and plant churches and all those things that we want to do. Secondly, we're hosting all the new people, helping them to adjust to life here. We're hosting short-term teams. If you ever want to send one, send them our way, and we'll be your people, and all different kinds of people. Madison and I are in charge of hosting them in the city here in Bamako. And then other than that, we are just helping with our team. Actually, our team is based primarily in a village, and their plan is to head from village to village as needed to plant churches in villages that have never heard the gospel or ever heard the true story of Jesus. And so we're helping them with all the things that they need, which is a lot, as they live in the harsh environment of the village. We help them to get all kinds of things and to make city runs and to just have a place to relax when they come back. And so, we have a great role on our team, and we love what we're doing right now.
And we both just really feel like Chi Alpha prepared us. It discipled us and helped us to understand the importance of relationship-based ministry, because that's what we do here. We learn the language to build relationships and to share the gospel with people who have never heard. And so that really started for us at the university. Colin spent a little bit of time in the marketplace before coming, and now we're serving here in the world. So that is true. The Chi Alpha statement rings true, that we exist to reach the university, the marketplace, and the world. So thanks for having us today.
All right. I know they're not here, but would you give them a hand? Because they're heroes of ours. All right. So we've been talking about what Chi Alpha like means, what we do, to why we exist. We've read some scripture out of 2 Corinthians. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15. So these are verses that just precede that. And I want to read this. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15. It says this. For Christ's love compels us. Let me say that first part again, because it's very important. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. That word compels or compelled means to bring about by the use of force. And when I think about the word compels, I think of a catapult. I don't know why, like a catapult that just launches things. It's compelled forward, right? So what is that driving force that launches you? What is that thing in your life that compels you, that launches you forward? Is it Christ? Is it Christ's love that compels you? That is really my number one challenge for you today, is what compels you? And only you can answer that question as you're sitting here. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. If you're filling in that gap of what compels you with something else besides Christ's love, I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Not necessarily me. I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you. There is no greater thing that can compel us than the love of Christ, no greater example of his love. Many people want to know in Chi Alpha, in college, they're saying, what is my calling? Like, what am I supposed to do? It's like Chris was saying, you know, he changes that major, trying to figure these things out, and you're like, what's my calling, God? I want to know so desperately, what is it that you want me to do? And the good news is, I can tell you all what God's number one calling is for your life. And that is for you to be a Christ ambassador. It's not just a Chi Alpha thing. This is a us thing, like the church body. We are called to be Christ ambassadors first. Now, you might have other items that you go and you do every day and work that you have, whether it's doing daycare like my mom, or whether it's my dad, he had to go on Social Security at 33, but let me tell you what, he is one of the most amazing guys that can connect with people, whether it's neighbors or people around him. And maybe you are one of those individuals, and you're saying, I do this. How is God going to let you be a light to the world around you? How are you going to be a Christ ambassador for him this week? I have this rope here, and at the very tip of it, I colored it just black. Now, the color of it doesn't really matter, but as we look at this, a lot of times our life seems so long. And as I I'm now 40. I'm getting ready to turn 41. My days go by a lot faster, and I'm realizing how short life actually is. But sometimes in life, you're like, man, this is, life feels forever, right? But I want to compare this to something that is far greater than the life we live here on this earth, and that's eternity. And so if I could get Paige and Xander, if you guys would be willing to, as long as this is not tangled, if you'll take that. All right. A lot of times we live our life for that little black segment. And if the keyboardist wants to come and play a little bit, we live for that little black segment that's right on that rope. But the rest of this that is white is the example of eternity. And as we're called to be Christ's ambassadors, sometimes we look at our degree and the things, and we think about all the accomplishments and the things that happened here on this globe, right? And they fall within that black little segment there. And that is so small compared to the rest of what God has for us. And honestly, eternity is so much far greater than this white rope. It keeps going on and on and on. And so today, as we wrap up, I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I have a temporary perspective, or do I have an eternal perspective? Is my life driven? Is it compelled by the love of Christ that really moves us in the direction of living life for eternity? Or is it compelled to just live for the short here and now? I didn't really fully plan on sharing this today, but when I was in high school, I lived in that small little short there, that moment there. And I even went to my dad and I said, Dad, I don't believe there's a God. I was living this life where I was playing football. I was a freshman in high school, and I had a senior girlfriend. So I was like, man, I have arrived. I know all things because I'm a high school student, right? Any high schoolers feel that way? You're like, I just know it all. And that was my life. And there was multiple other things that I was just like, man, my life is so good. But the truth of the matter is, I was lying to myself. I was trying to push down that emptiness and that brokenness, right? I was just ignoring it. I was lying that was there. And just saying my life was great, because it really wasn't. And one day I went to my dad, like I said, and I told him, I said, hey, Dad, I don't believe that God is real. And he said, Tyler, this breaks my heart, because this is the most important thing in life. But I want to ask you to do one more thing. I want you to go to one more church activity for me. I want you to go on a choir tour trip. And I'm a freshman in high school. I'm like, choir tour trip, whatever is that? I don't sing. Like, I cannot sing. Like, your worship team, they're amazing. I can worship, but I cannot sing. So I'm like, whatever, Dad, I will go on this choir tour trip, and we will go. And on this trip, it sounds like there's going to be beaches there. So I'll go to the beach. I will enjoy my life. It will be great. And I'm just going to go on this last thing that you want me to go on, and then I don't have to go to church anymore. Well, one of those nights, we actually did not have a hotel. I slept on a pew just like this in my sleeping bag. And as the lights are turned off, as I lay three rows back in a sleeping bag, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart and reveal and just remove those lies and show me the truth of how empty and sad and broken my life was. And it was in that space that my life began to change. Because I realized the love that Christ had for me, even though I didn't have that love for him, he had it for me. And that love came into my life. It filled all the emptiness. It compelled me to now go and do something far different than whatever thought I would ever do in life. And that's why I'm here today. And I believe that it was not only by the Holy Spirit, but my parents' prayers, as they had individuals who prayed for me. There is power in prayer. When you partner with God, we can do so much greater. We are way far better Christ ambassadors, right? We think that we can do it in our own strength. We think that we're going to do this amazing thing as I go into my job tomorrow. I'm going to do this. I'm going to got this. And we don't do our devotions and we don't spend time in prayer. Can I just tell you that I was at a conference like a week ago in Phoenix, and we were talking about the power of the Holy Spirit and the importance of the Holy Spirit being upon our lives and asking the Holy Spirit to just work in us and through us. And it was at this service where I was just like, God, I try so hard to do things on my own strength. Holy Spirit, would you just send me to be used by you today? I know I'm at a conference, but will you use me? And I was like, I don't know where he's going to use me, but I'm going to try this easier way of just asking the Holy Spirit to move through me. And we went to go get coffee at a drive-through coffee place. And we're up at this coffee place, and I'm waiting for my coffee, and this guy's engaging in conversation, and he goes, hey, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm actually a pastor. He's like, wow, that's so cool. What do you do? Like, where do you do that? And I'm telling him, he's like, you know what? I've been feeling like I need to get back in church. I've been feeling like, do you know any good churches around here? Even though we were in a conference in Arizona, I happened to know a place because we used to live in Arizona. Guess what? That was not part of my plans that day to talk to this guy about a local church that was not far from him. But the Holy Spirit knew. So today, if you would stand, I want to invite just the prayer team to go ahead and come forward. And I want to invite you for a couple of things. If you're like, hey, Tyler, I'm where you were, and I'm just feeling broken and empty, and I have never accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. If you're one of those individuals that's like, you know what? Yeah, I want to be filled with Christ. I want Christ to come and live inside my heart. I want to make him my Lord and Savior. If that is you today, I want you to come and ask one of these people to partner with you in prayer. And just talk with them and just share your desire for that to happen. This is not a complex prayer. We are not going to point you out, but just agree with one of these. This is a celebration. Can I tell you, when I accepted Christ as my Lord, that was the greatest day of my life. I have never lived a greater day. Yes, my marriage was awesome, but when I stepped into a relationship with Christ, it was the most amazing thing. It transformed my life. If you want to experience that, if you want to have that fullness of life, I want you to feel free to come and speak to one of those people. Also, if you just feel like you're like, I've been doing things on my own strength and I just want somebody to pray for me. I want to pray that the Holy Spirit would just refill me, come upon me. I just need that. The Holy Spirit is not this weird part of the Trinity. It is a equally important part of the Trinity, okay? We need the Holy Spirit to help us in this life. If you would just ask these individuals at the altar to just pray for you, just for the Holy Spirit to move through you, to be active in your life, to lead and guide you in the things that you do this week so that you can be a Christ ambassador. I want to pray over you, and then after I pray, Cello and Devante are going to go ahead and come up here. Actually, if you guys want to come up here right now and get ready, they're going to sing a song. But if you feel the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now, I want you to make a plan in your head that you're going to come forward and ask for prayer. Let me pray over you. Father God, I thank you for Carpenter Shop. I thank you for these individuals in this room. I believe that this church is such a representation of what heaven is going to look like. Diverse, full of life, being transformed. God, this community is so beautiful. God, thank you. Thank you for a little bit of glimpse of what heaven is going to look like and feel like. May more churches and more communities look like Carpenter Shop. And in turn, may more communities look more like you. Father God, I pray that you would compel us this week by your love, that we would be compelled to go into our communities, go into our places of work, go into our neighbor's home, and or maybe invite them into our home and break bread with them and just ask them how they're doing. Find out a little bit more about them. Would you, Holy Spirit, do the heavy lifting? God, you are so much better at this than us. You say that your yoke is easy and our burden can be light when we give it to you. And so this heavy life that sometimes we try to live, God, we want to give that to you as you say you want us to. And we want you to take that weight off of us. God, would you move in our lives this week, today? Help us be Christ's ambassadors so that we can share about your great love for your people, for all people. In your name we pray. Amen. Please come now if you would like to ask for prayer for any of those items. And they're going to lead us in this song.
As we set up and just prepare, I want to introduce the scripture to everybody before we get into the song. It's in Psalm 118, verses 4 through 6. It says, "Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my darkness I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" I want us to, as we sing this song called One Thing Remains, I want us to continue to remember that regardless of what stronghold or what chain may be hindering your life during this season, that won't last forever, but there is one thing that will last forever, and that's Jesus. Regardless of what may be holding you back or may be attacking you spiritually or physically, regardless of whether it's a disease like cancer or something like a lost relationship, or something like a lost friend or a loved one, I pray that you continue to hold fast on the love of Jesus, because regardless of all of that, none of that is as powerful as his love that he has for you. Even if it's an own personal gripe that you have, like an addiction, or just a bad sinful nature, or somebody might have wronged you, or persecuted against you, that will not last forever. That will continue to remain as the love that God has for you. So continue to strive for his glorious eternal salvation. Continue to strive for that hope and desire for a better future, because he's not going to leave you no matter how badly that you fall out of obedience to him. I've had my own personal struggles before college, during college, even now as a missionary. I struggle a lot in my personal life with a lot of things that have to do with my faith. But at the end of the day, God continues to call me his child, his son. He paid that price for you when he died on that cross and resurrected and went back to the right hand of the Father. There is nothing that we can do, absolutely nothing that we can do to fall out of his good grace. So as long as you continue to remember this, and remind yourselves of how worthy you are to call him Father, of how worthy he is to give all your grace, there is nothing that can stop you from getting closer to him. So as we pray into this, just continue to focus on him. Lord, we pray for just your peace to flood this place. We pray for your continued glory to overcome all tragedy, all strongholds, all chains. They will be broken at your name as we continue to give you all the praise and glory. We pray for all of our worries and fears and concerns to leave this house, because it is no place where you reside, God. We pray for peace and to just focus on you during this time of worship as we close our time together. We pray that this does not become the end for us, but only a continuation of what you've already done in our lives, God. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
love never fails.
It never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
And higher than the mountains that I think. Come on, stronger than the power.
Stronger than the power of the grave.
Constant in the trial.
And constant in the trial and the change.
Come on, make that your declaration.
This one thing.
Come on, remain.
And remain.
This one thing.
Your love, it never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love. Gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your
love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your
love never gives up, it never runs out on me. Of your great love.
My debt is paid.
And my debt is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love.
Come on, let's sing that again. Death and life.
In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. Death is pain. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love.
Oh,
your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Come on, let me hear y'all sing it.
Love, it never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, it never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love.
Thank you, Lord. Love never fails, amen. And God's love has been manifested in this room today because we've heard tremendous testimonies of just the presence of Chi Alpha Missions on a college campus. Did you hear them say countries bring their students, they're bringing the mission field to their own campus right there? So I don't know about you, but this touches my heart to know that we've got a chance to reach people that are not allowed missionaries in their country. And so God brings those people, the nations, to the campus. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity. Reese is coming back to the platform to do the last song that they did in Fine Arts this week, As You Give. So you can be seated just a moment. And as she prepares to minister, listen, the buckets are here. I'd like to just see you give a tremendous offering to the ministry of Chi Alpha on the campus of North Carolina State University. Can we do that? Let's just give beyond just your expectations. Sow a seed into those students, because you've had a chance this morning to hear from students whose lives have been impacted by the very same thing. And when Joy began to minister to me, I was a student at NC State. When Joy began to minister to me on that first night, and she shared the gospel with me, and that I was really a test for her, I was halfway NC State, and I thought, man, I'm so confused, I don't know what to do. And I would have never made it through if there wasn't a small fellowship of Christian students on that campus. I don't even know who they were. It could have been a Chi Alpha for all I know. All I know is I needed to be there. And every week at that meeting, I went to that full gospel student fellowship group. And it made me stay focused while I was away from home. Couldn't wait to get home on the weekends, naturally, so I could see Joy. But also, I had to be in Raleigh, you know, every day to the week. And so I was involved and engaged in that Spirit-filled campus group there at NC State University. I'm thanking God today that that kind of thing is still going on, and you can invest in that today. So as Reese ministers her song, would you feel free to come and drop your missions offering right here in the buckets today? And if you're giving online, you can do that as well to missions as you choose that app. God bless you guys.
By now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. And as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I as your mercy falls, I raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I praise you in this dark, and I will lift my hands, 'cause you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much. Reese, encourage you, man. Get your kids connected into youth and to fine arts. Also, I'd like to thank Pastor Pridgen for being with us this morning. Those guys came in this morning with mugs. Something in the mug. They believe in what Chi Alpha is doing, so we're glad to see you guys today. Between New Vision over in Murfreesboro and Edenton First Assembly in Edenton and Carpenter Shop International Church, we leave you today with over 300 mugs from for the project. So we're believing God for great things. Thank you for participating in that. God bless you. Have an awesome day as you leave today. Please be careful as you leave the parking lot. And hey, stay cool, would you? Stay cool today. Amen. God bless you and have an awesome week.